Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for Tuesday, November 7th. I'm Alan Chartok. Congress is considering a Republican tax overhaul plan. As you know, the proposal would cut some individual and corporate tax rates. Democrats, especially in New York, are opposing the measure, saying it will hurt middle-class families. E.J. McMahon, our friend of the Empire Center for Public Policy, is in the studio to help us break down the tax plan and its possible impacts. We want to hear from you. What do you think? 1-800-348-2551. Don't be scared. 1-800-348-2551. That's your calls and emails all coming up on the Vox Pop. E.J. McMahon, right after this news. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. A Republican tax overhaul plan is being considered in Washington. The proposal would reduce 7 individual tax brackets to 4 or 3, depending on how you're counting, 12, 25, 35, and the current top rate of 39.6% remaining in place for the very wealthy. Corporate taxes would drop from 35% to 20%. Democratic leaders, especially in New York, are opposing the partial elimination of state and local tax deductions. Our wonderful friend E.J. McMahon, founder and research director of the Empire Center for Public Policy, is in the studio. He has analyzed how New Yorkers would be impacted by the federal changes in taxes. E.J., welcome back to the Vox Pop.
Thank you.
Now, would you describe yourself as a sort of a conservative fellow? Yes.
I wouldn't run from that description.
Yeah, you wouldn't run from that. Yeah, I love that. So we want to hear from you. Maybe you could parse the plan, tell us whether or not Cuomo's standing up there with Schumer recently saying this will bankrupt the state, basically, whether it's true or not, and whether, you know, like the deduction of state and local taxes are doing away with them a good thing, a bad thing, whatever you got.
Well, to begin with, there's actually two parts to this, which when you read about it, there's a whole other part, which is a corporate tax deduction.
Sure.
Which has broad bipartisan support. Actually, Obama proposed a corporate tax reduction also, and the Republicans and Democrats in Congress can never agree on the level because the Republicans want to cut it more. But everybody thinks our corporate rate is too high and that the corporate tax code is filled with inequities and irregularities. So part of this, actually the biggest part of it in terms of the, when you hear people say this is a tax cut for the rich, they're actually talking about the corporate tax part. Because in addition to reducing the rate on corporations from 35% to 20%, they would reduce the rate on what are called pass-through entities, subchapter S companies, partnerships, et cetera.
Well, explain what that is. I think a
well,
lot of people
like
don't get
a professional partnership or a business that you own with a few other people. It's not incorporated. Public can't buy shares in it. It's just you and a few other people own it, or maybe you alone own it.
You're self-employed. You and I set up a stationery store.
We set up a stationery store. That's now. The largest and wealthiest versions of that now are tax on a rate schedule that's the personal income tax rate schedule. They would be able to pay a rate as low as 25% at the highest income level. So really lucrative partnerships, largely professional partnerships like law firms, medical partnerships, et cetera. And very affluent or big profit-making companies that are privately owned, if you're a partner in it, you would be eligible for this tax break.
So this is good for rich guys.
It's good for, although it's more limited than what's been described, because there's actually technical limitations you don't want me to go into, on this. But that, so you'd get part of that tax cut. That's where the so-called tax cut for the rich is in the plan, on the corporate side. On the income tax side, particularly for the wealthiest New York taxpayers or for the highest income taxpayers, it's not a tax cut, it's a tax increase. In terms of the earned income, especially from salaries. And that's because the top rate, as you mentioned, working into this, the very highest tax rate would not be reduced. It now applies to incomes in the neighborhood of $500,000 or a little below for a married couple, which is most of the people in this class. It would starting at $1 million in income, the rate would not go down. If you make $1 million or more, the rate would stay 39.6, which is actually, because of an existing cap on deductions, is actually 40, more like 40.8, to further complexify it. They would not change that, but what they would do is they would eliminate all itemized deductions except the deductions for mortgage interest on mortgages under $500,000 and except property taxes under $10,000. All other itemized deductions and charitable contribution deductions would be allowed.
So if you build a house and it costs you $1 million to build,
right.
And you borrow that $1 million to do it in,
you can deduct only $500,000.
Right.
The main thing for the upper crust New Yorkers, for the highest earning New Yorkers, roughly 50,000 New York residents who earn at least $1 million in income. For them, they would lose all of their income tax deduction for state and local income taxes. Most of them are in New York City, where they can pay a combined rate of 12.7% on their income, which is the highest in the country after California, where it's 13%. Now, the effect that would have is that would be a tax increase. If you're in New York City and you're in the highest income bracket, you'd be paying 4 percentage points more effectively because of the loss of your deduction. Basically, the net tax price of living in New York City, or all living in just in New York State outside New York City, would, if you completely eliminate that deduction, would be the highest ever. So that is the difference in taxes that you pay between living in New York and living in a state with no income tax would be the largest in history.
So let me get this straight. If you are a New York State taxpayer,
right,
the New York State tax rate is what?
8.8 on a $1 million single two-million couple.
Now, if you live in New York City, you also pay a city income
3.9% on top of that.
So that's how you arrive.
That's how you get a 12.7. By one of the ironies of this is that one of the governor's complaints about losing the state and local tax deductions is he says that would be tantamount to double taxation. He says the same income would be taxed twice. Well, of course, he does the same thing. The state actually taxes the income of New York City residents twice because the city tax, income tax, is not deductible on the state income tax.
But that's interesting.
And that's never been the case, by the way.
I just want to point out to people who are listening, if they want to get in on this, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. It's an interesting thing, and it's going to cost you, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. So you better check in now. Go ahead, E.J.
Well, in terms of the vast majority of taxpayers, and there was actually a very good piece today in the New York Times on this that I think was one of the best I've seen about whether this would actually cut taxes for the middle class, because the drumbeat largely from the Republican congressional leadership has been the focus. Although there's a big corporate rate cut, they're focusing on middle class, middle class, middle class. Really, it looks like about 2/3 to 3/4 of what you would consider middle class, which would be up into like 150,000 or so in New York, will get a tax cut. But a sizable chunk of the middle class, a minority, will not get a tax cut. And so the plan doesn't actually uniformly cut taxes for everybody to be considered middle class.
So, EJ, who are the ones who will make out and who are the ones who will not make out?
If you're middle class, if you have a modest income and are a middle class family by national standards, that is, middle class family by national standards is a family of four. That is, spouses, two children, income of, say, 60 to 70. You'll get a nice, tidy tax cut of maybe a couple of $1,000s. If you are a larger family living in a suburb of New York City, say in Long Island, paying high property taxes and paying the state income tax on a combined income of, say, $140,000 a year, which is not really affluent by Long Island standards or Westchester, Lower Hudson Valley standards, you'll get a much smaller tax cut, and depending on a few details of your circumstances, you might not get any tax cut.
Explain the AMT.
The AMT, the alternative minimum tax, is something that was instituted back in the 60s to ensure that the very wealthiest taxpayers paid at least some tax, because then the tax code was riddled with all sorts of loopholes and exceptions that allowed that to happen otherwise.
So after you deduct all your deductions,
you had no tax. That was back in the olden days.
And they say, fooled you, now you have to do the AMT.
Now they come back all the way back. The AMT has never been updated to in any way, so that it increasingly affected, for a while, until early in the Bush administration, it actually affected a lot of core middle class taxpayers in New York. Due to changes in the tax code since then, it now mainly affects the main people affected by the AMT in New York are people who make about 130, and especially as you go up more and more to about $600,000 or $700,000 a year. People who are pretty affluent, very successful, they may be small business owners or professionals, they are hit by the AMT.
And they hate the AMT.
Well, they hate it because it's an extra thing. Now, at the lower end of the income scale, it's not that much extra, but it is extra. And it's a complication that doesn't need to be there. And it also, I think, adds insult to injuries, because people who pay it say, why am I getting hit by this? It's not like I'm paying enough already. So the AMT would be eliminated under this tax cut.
Okay, we're going to, EJ, you're terrific. We're going to take a few seconds now to take a break, and we'll be back. I'm talking seconds, so if you're Jessica or Eli, you stay right there.
Support for WAMC comes from Jay's Art Shop, downtown Bennington, Vermont, featuring art supplies, custom picture framing, art gallery, cards, gifts, and fashion apparel, 45 years in business, jaysartshop.com. Ruby Star Healing Arts Rhinebeck, offering spiritual consulting, energy healings, psychic readings, yoga, massage, beauty treatments, private hosted events, crystals, and more, in a setting overlooking Rhinebeck, rubystarhealingarts.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, offering design-build services that feature passive solar and energy-efficient designs, supporting the local economy using local materials. Prefabricated house kits also available, noble-home.net. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting the Art of New York, annual juried art show through January 3rd, celebrating New York's regional artists. ArkellMuseum.org for details. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com.
So we are back on the Vox Pop with our friend E.J. McMahon. He's explaining taxes, a couple of things real fast. This was supposed to be really simplified. It was going to kill the tax preparer industry. Is that true?
In the end, no. It won't be, because they've already added back some complexity to the plan in between releasing their outline a month and a half ago and what they end up introducing the bill. And before they get to a deal in the next within the next month, which they say they will, they'll put more carbuncles back on it that'll keep the CPAs and the tax people in business.
There are those who think there will not be a tax bill. There are those who think there will. I'm one of them who thinks there will, based on the fact that Trump needs a victory, and I don't think he particularly cares what's in it.
I think that's true, and I think that's also one of his problems, because if you're a House Republican on the margin who's being asked to vote for this bill and you've got some qualms about it, based on the Obamacare experience, you have to be aware that he might initially congratulate you for it and then 2 weeks ago say it's a bad deal and you shouldn't have voted for it. So that actually makes it harder to keep people in line, I think.
Okay, over to Jessica. Jessica in Bethlehem, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes. I actually used to work for tax and finance, and you mentioned how in New York State you can actually be taxed twice if you live in New York City because you're paying New York City taxes and New York State taxes. Well, there's something that a lot of people don't realize that they get into trouble down in New York City, which is that there is a non-resident Yonkers tax. So I had a few very upset individuals who used to call me because they lived in New York City, worked in Yonkers, and so they paid New York State taxes, New York City taxes, and Yonkers tax.
Wow.
And if they lost that tax credit in their federal taxes, they would have been in extreme trouble.
So they got to deduct the Yonkers tax, too. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that also fell underneath that umbrella of, you know, state and local taxes that could be deducted. But, yeah, in New York State, you can get taxed in some very interesting ways on your income taxes alone.
So what do you conclude?
Basically, that Cuomo's being a little bit silly if he's trying to call that double taxation, because also the New York State credit on paying out-of-state taxes, say you work in Connecticut and you pay taxes to Connecticut, well, there's a non-resident credit where the money that you pay to Connecticut, you don't have to turn around and pay to New York State. Well, if that other state has a lower tax than New York State, you don't get to just not pay taxes on that money altogether. You have to pay the difference between what you paid that other state and what you would have paid to New York to New York. So New York is basically going to get every dime again.
One last question. If you're Alan and you live in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and you work in New York State, what happens to me?
Well, that is New York State income, and it is taxable to New York State. You'd file a non-resident form, and again, you wouldn't have to pay taxes that you already paid to, you know, your home state, but that difference between what you pay to your home state and what you pay to New York State, if, you know, your home state's taxes are lower, which they almost always are, you are going to have to pay to New York State.
Yep.
EJ?
Not only that, and thank you for that, making that point, because again, the governor went on at great length in several of his press availabilities on this about how terribly unfair it would be. And what Jessica just mentioned is accurate. Our code is complex and unfair in all sorts of ways. Let me give you another example. If you, for instance, work...
By the way, I just wanted to interrupt for 1 second and say, when I said to her, what do you conclude? I was going to say, you should conclude never live in Yonkers.
Yeah, no, definitely. If you
be
work
careful
in Yonkers,
about doing
make
work
sure
in
you
Yonkers.
Live in Yonkers. Yeah. Don't live in New York City and work in Yonkers, because then you're just really in trouble.
What happens in Yonkers needs to stay in Yonkers. In other words. The other thing is, here's what we do. Here's another gotcha we throw at people from out of state who work here. We tax you at the highest rate we can apply to your joint income. So, for instance, a couple who lives in New Jersey, and let's say they have $150,000 in total income, or even make it a little higher, $200,000. They both have nice jobs, but half is here and half is in New Jersey. So the spouse is in New Jersey, you're working here, and you go across to Montclair every night. New York taxes you as if the whole $200,000 was made here, which is a significantly higher
rate. That's wrong. That's just wrong.
It is wrong. It's unfair. You might even call it double taxation, but we do it. So I think I would be careful if I was the governor about getting up on a high horse and preaching to, you know, tax rectitude to the rest of the country, because it certainly doesn't exist here.
Well, he's running for president, and this becomes something he thinks he can win with, because most people don't have the slightest idea what it's all about.
You might say that. I couldn't possibly comment. But however, I think that, you know, we do all sorts of complicated and unfair things to taxpayers, especially on a cross-border basis, and even, again, as the caller pointed out, cross-borders within New York State.
Yeah, you can imagine. You live in Taxachusetts, and you still get screwed by New York.
Oh, Taxachusetts hasn't been Taxachusetts in about 30 years. Yeah. It's actually the lowest tax state in New England outside New Hampshire.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm proud of it.
There you go.
Okay, Jessica, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it. All right, we'll go to Eli in Utica. Welcome back, Eli. You're on.
Hi, fellas. Well, I would say every New Yorker needs to get up on their high horse, because this tax plan is going to create a massive outflow of dollars from New York, California, New Jersey, other blue states, right into the federal government, red states. We know right now, for every dollar we pay in tax, we get back 80 cents. All those states that I mentioned. If you look at all the red states, the exact opposite. Every southern state, most southern states, are for every dollar they pay, they're getting back $1.30, $1.40. They're on the dole for New Yorkers. So these red state Republicans, they want to increase that dole. They want to deprive us even further, when all they do is complain about massive federal government spending. They're spending our money. It's outrageous, in my opinion.
Well,
but let me just go quickly a couple other topics. The idea that taxpayers are going to be getting a middle class is going to be able getting a tax break. Well, the Republicans themselves say that it's $1.5 trillion deficit. So if you're just putting your tax savings on the credit card, my prediction, when the CBO comes out, the real figure, it's going to be way over $1.5 trillion. Same thing that Bush did 2001, 2003, promised us with his tax cuts, supply side. Oh, no, don't worry, they'll pay for themselves. Never happened. Increased the deficit. Third thing, talking about corporate tax, saying Obama also wanted corporate tax. No. Obama wanted it to decrease to 35%, which is unfair to those paying 35%. But he wanted to get rid of all the corporate loopholes, which are allowing corporations to pay 2, 3, 4%, depending on who they are. So the Republicans don't do that. They don't get rid of the loopholes. Oh. They just cut the tax.
Actually, they do get rid of a lot.
Okay, Eli, just hold on a second. Go ahead, EJ.
They do get rid of a lot of loopholes. You're right, Eli, about what you're saying about Obama's proposal, which was, I believe, revenue neutral or close to it. The Republicans do get rid of a lot of those loopholes. Where the big extra is in there is in taking the pass-through rate down to, in fact, in proposing that the rate for corporations go down to 20. I think Obama had it down to 28, maybe. They're taking the rate down to 20, which is, and most, I think most, and where Congress may end up really is at 25. But Trump had talked so much about 20 in his campaign that they started out taking it down to 20. And I think you're making a point about the deficit that I actually agree with, which is that under the most favorable assumptions about what this would do for the economy, it's going to boost the deficit by over $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion. And I think that's a problem. Yeah. I agree that that's a problem. I think that a lot of that is related to some of the as to how deep the corporate tax and how broad the corporate tax cuts are.
Let me ask you. Now, you think corporations like GE and Apple are no longer going to be paying 2-3-4% tax?
I think this plan does a lot to actually bring back on shore things like Apple's revenue, which is just reported today is now parked in Jersey, the island, as opposed to the
Jersey.
State.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay. Eli, I wish I could spend the day with you here, but I can't. So
thank you.
You're done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye. Okay, and we'll go to Merle in Argyle, where everybody wears socks. Okay, go ahead, Merle.
Hi. Could you just explain again, you sort of mentioned it, the alternative minimum tax for, I would assume, small business, big business, and rich people. That's going to be eliminated, yes or no?
Yes, but it's not just for...
It's going to be eliminated?
Yes. But not...
So they can pay, like Trump, zero taxes.
No. The alternative minimum tax mainly hits not businesses, or it does hit business owners, but it hits a lot of just... House. No,
people like me.
It hits a lot of individuals. I pay it too, to some degree. I don't know what it is, but it hits a lot of individuals. It hits most. In fact, it hits a majority of families making over, say, the low hundreds.
It was not supposed to, by the way.
No, but originally it wasn't supposed to originally, but it does now. But see, it doesn't disallow multiple exemptions for dependents, which the plan actually eliminates and replaces with something else. And basically, if you have a large family, and for instance, to give one example, and live in a high tax state like New York, you're more likely to pay. That's not a business. That's as a family. You're more likely to pay the AMT.
Okay. So that's the deal, Merle. And thank you for calling. Appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. Here's some of the stuff that's coming over the internet. What about single males, no kids? Would I benefit at all? Would I be taxed more? I make under $50,000. Yasu.
You probably will be affected little. Unless you have a lot of itemized deductions, you probably get a certain level of tax cut, but not as much as somebody with that income level with kids.
Okay. Next communication. Good afternoon. If this new tax plan is supposed to be good for the middle class, then why does this new tax plan include a repeal of the estate tax?
Well, it doesn't hurt the middle class to repeal what's left of the estate tax. You can argue that one way or the other, but it doesn't really.
Well, but if the rich aren't paying more on their estate tax, the uber rich, then that might get passed on to the middle class.
Now, again, I didn't check this before I came here.
Yeah.
The amount the estate tax raises, first of all, it doesn't affect that many anymore, and it doesn't raise that
much. That's right. We got that.
So I'm not sure that of all the items in this, if you're into a sort of like a soak the rich kind of mindset,
yes,
I would not say that that's like the main thing to be concerned about in this. I mean, you can argue it either way. I think the bigger point to be aware of from, for instance, New York's point of view and also neighboring states, we're among the few states that still have an estate tax of our own.
Bad news.
And that so this creates complication and makes a bad situation even worse in that regard.
Right. Okay. So there's that. Now we'll go to Richard in Schenectady. Richard in Schenectady, you're on. Go, Richard.
Yes. Good afternoon, EJ and Alan. I just have a different perspective to look at this from, not the whole thing, but one thing I don't like about it is it's going to raise the standard deduction. It's going to double the standard deduction. And one way I don't like that, I mean, I'm all for a lot of people who don't earn much, not having to overpay too many taxes, too much in taxes. But what it is when you don't allow them to contribute anything in taxes, you're going to find a lot more people looking down at these people and saying, you're non-contributors to society. And I think everybody should have to pay a little bit in taxes unless they're very, very poor, at least $100 or $1,000, just so that... Because I've heard people say recently about the government needs to listen to its taxpayers. Well, the government needs to listen to all of its citizens. And if they get the attitude that they need to listen to taxpayers more than they need to listen to non-taxpayers, that's not going to be good. because most non-taxpayers are going to be Democrats.
Okay, got it. EJ.
Most people who work, everybody who works pays taxes, pays Social Security payroll taxes. In fact, for the lowest income individuals and families, the biggest tax is the Social Security tax and second and the Medicare tax.
Benefit. It's not for roads and other,
well,
other
but,
things.
But roads and other things are funded mainly by your state and local tax, which is why they should be deductible, by the way.
By the way, something's going wrong here, Richard. Are you leaving your radio on or something while we're talking? Because we're getting an echo.
They're all off.
Okay, great. Okay, go ahead.
I see where you're headed on this. I'm not sure this particular change adds as many people to the no tax list as you assume, because keep in mind that this the two things that the tax proposal would do, the tax bill, it would eliminate what are now called dependent exemptions. We used to say, you know, the phrase daddy's little write-off when a child was born, for instance. Mm-hmm. You get $4,000 per individual. That's, you get to write off $4,000 for yourself. If you're married, $4,000 for your spouse, and then $4,000 for each child. So let's take a married couple now who have no children. Right now, they deduct $8,000. They're going to get they're not going to get that $8,000 write-off anymore. They're going to have a standard deduction of $12,000. So, okay, so there's $4,000 less of their income that's exposed to taxes. That's a difference. It's not as big a difference as you suggest, though, I would say. So also, if you're in that lowest income bracket, the rate is going up from 10 to 12%. So I'm not sure it actually makes that much difference among that many people, although I'm prepared to be told I'm wrong. I don't think that it's taking that many more people off the tax rolls.
Thank you.
I would say that doubling the standard deduction is probably going to double the number of people who aren't going to.
No, I don't think it will, because, again, do the math on this. Let's say the entire taxpaying population was families of four. Okay, families of four now get a $16,000 in dependent exemptions. Their standard deduction is not doubling, it's going up to $24,000, which is a big increase. But then also keep in mind that the rate in the lowest income bracket is going up slightly. So that means that almost none of those families will pay higher taxes, but they won't like also pay totally lower taxes. I think, yeah, at the margins, if you've got, you know, people, there'd be an $8,000 range where more people will not be paying taxes, but those people now pay very little taxes to begin with, I think.
I've got to go, Richard. Thank you. Okay, we'll go to Robert in Clifton Park. Okay, Robert in Clifton Park, you're on.
Yes, if I just use the standard deduction and don't itemize, will my standard deduction stay the same, or will it be more, or will it be less?
It will be twice whatever it is now. But you will not be able to have an exemption for yourself. So, for instance, if you're single and you check the box, how many dependents, and you can check self, that's your one of your own dependents. If you check one now in a new form, you won't check anything because you won't have a personal exemption, but your standard deduction will double.
It'll double?
Yeah. It'll go from 6 to 12 for an individual and 12 to 24 for a married joint filer.
Okay.
Thank you, Robert. All right. And now, let's see. We have 3 minutes before the break. We'll go to Brian in Saugerties. Brian in Saugerties, your turn. Go.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Quick question. I'm an hourly W-2 employee. Use my vehicle for business purposes. Any idea what's going to happen to the vehicle deduction and the qualifying home office deductions?
Ooh. You know what? I don't know. If they are on, I'm not sure. I tell you the truth.
You know what, Brian? This is interesting, because the one thing I want to point out to everybody who's calling in is this is not a bill yet.
It is a bill.
Well, it's a bill. But it
the
is
details
by no,
are all out.
But it is by no means passed.
Oh, no. It's going to be negotiated.
The guys from K Street are running up like little rats onto the Capitol platform, aren't they?
Let me make a general point, and I think this applies to the caller's question. We've been talking about the state and local tax deduction. Right. That's for individuals who are actually employed somewhere, filing their individual form. Deductions that are business deductions are by and large not changing, including state and local tax deductions. Businesses will still be able to deduct state and local taxes. So because
it's not a business deduction on my side. I am a W-2 hourly employee.
Oh, okay.
But but the company does not supply a car for me.
So do you, I'm not sure, if those deductions are claimed on as a personal deduction, like are they a miscellaneous deduction? Is that what category they fall into? Am I remembering
that
correctly?
Yes, I believe so.
Then they're all eliminated along with all other itemized deductions.
So he's screwed.
So in my case, I've got to hope the standard deduction being doubled makes up for it.
I think so, but I'm sorry, I can't be absolutely positive because that's I hadn't even thought of that. But that's a really key question for people in your situation. Obviously.
Brian, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it. Okay, what we're going to do now is take a short break, come back, and round the corner for the last part of this program.
Support for WAMC comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts. For over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Love Apple Farm, Route 9H, Ghent, New York. Open 7 days with authentic Mexican lunch, U-Fruit, Petting Zoo, Fresh Farm Market, Cider Donuts and Bakery, new Love Apple Art Space, 518-828-5048. The University at Albany Theater Program, presenting the classic story, A Doll's House, by Henrik Ibsen, November 15th to 19th at the Uptown Campus in the Studio Theater, albany.edu/theater. Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts. An independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support to the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years. the-gazebo.com. And Mass Match, for over 15 years, a locally owned dating and matchmaking service connecting singles through private matchmaking in Western Massachusetts and beyond. MassMatch.com.
Thank you, Zachary. With E.J. McMahon, the founder and research director of the Empire Center for Public Policy, and he's analyzed how New Yorkers could be impacted by the federal tax changes. He's a big thinker, ladies and gentlemen. He's not a tax preparer. I just want to point I want to point that out. So he knows a lot, but I just want you to know he's not the guy you go to with your tax return. Okay, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And John in Pattersonville has been waiting patiently. So you're on, John. Go ahead.
Quick comment and question about people earning income in foreign countries. I've been had the luxury of a federal tax deduction for foreign income earned. And although I should add that New York State does not provide such a deduction, so another case where Governor Cuomo is being a little hypocritical. But my question is, will the foreign earned income tax credit be also eliminated for individuals?
Short answer is, I don't know. Good question.
So I'll find out. I'd like to ask either of you why Cuomo is being hypocritical in this case.
Because I'm getting taxed twice on the money.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, okay.
I'm not getting a New York State deduction for foreign tax credit for foreign taxes paid. Much as the people in New York City or Yonkers or maybe Massachusetts do.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. All right, and we'll go now to Jim in Elizaville, but not before I give the important phone number, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, Jim in Elizaville. Okay, Jim, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. It's a great show. What I wanted to say is maybe it's my own thoughts on corporations. And my thought is a corporation is a tool. Same way as a hammer is a tool, or a pickup truck is a tool, or a tanker, an oil tanker. They're all tools to work on a specific job. Let's say you're a ditch digger, and you want to buy a better shovel, or you want to buy a power tool to do that. Those are tools, and it's great that you can buy a tool to help your job go easier or make you more money. But that's exactly what a corporation is. Now, you may want to say, but that's not what the law says when it comes to Citizens United. But nevertheless, it is an invention, and a production and a product that's created to do a specific job. Now, the person that owns the tool that makes his job better makes more money because he implements that tool. And he should be paying more taxes on the money that he makes because he's using a better tool. The job is becoming easier or more productive. And when it comes down to corporations, if you agree that a corporation is a tool, people use those tools, number one, to figure out exactly how much goes into that corporation and how much goes out. Same way that you might get a paycheck. You get a paycheck from the radio station. That's all figured out. And every penny that comes in and comes out of that radio station is identified as to where it's going and, you know, whether it's coming in or it's going out. And I think the same is true of corporations, that they know exactly where their money is going, coming in from and going out to. So I think everybody should be taxed on everything that they make, every single dime that they make, whether they get that money from being part of a corporation, using the corporation or the corporational tool, if you want to call it that.
Okay, that's all good, Jim. We a lot of people behind you, so let's go.
Okay.
Let's go to EJ and see what his reaction to.
Well, actually, there's like a whole different version of taxation that some people occasionally have floated just as an imaginary concept that would be called a cash flow tax. And you'd have this microscopic tax on all cash that moves, without exception, which in theory might be better. Would be better than the present system if you could trust government not to take the microscopic rate and keep nudging it up microscopically until it was a heavier burden than the existing system. Which in a broader
if you had a rate that was.
Yeah, no, but government, I know where you're going at, but the argument is, and this is why we don't have there's still pushback against value-added taxes here, mm-hmm. which are like, it was like a super gross sales tax that's repeatedly cascades. Mm-hmm. The problem is you impose it at a lower rate and government keeps raising the rate. That has happened in Europe, and that's the reason why there's so much pushback in the United States against the concept.
Okay, Jim, got to go on. Thank you very much. And we'll go to Michael in Sparrowbush. Okay, Michael. Go ahead,
Hi.
Michael.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It seems to me that if this tax proposal goes through with all these huge tax cuts that he's talking about giving, that eventually it's going to affect social programs and health programs, national parks, all sorts of stuff, and that eventually that's going to lead down the road to the possibility of higher state and local taxes. And I'm wondering if you could comment on that.
I think there's a very real possibility. The plan is now proposed, if it was enacted, would put a lot of pressure on finances of New York and several other states that are heavily dependent on income taxes paid by high-income people. More than 40% of the New York state income tax is paid by 50 or 60,000 people who make $1 million or more a year. That's a very tiny number of people, and small movements in that number of people can have huge revenue effects. This is going to take the effective tax rate of New York, net of deductibility, because even when our taxes were really high, they were deductible from higher federal taxes. New York's tax, the difference you have to pay to live in New York compared to a no-tax state, is going to be the highest level in history, by far, under this bill as written.
Just one second for everybody out there.
Yeah.
So under this bill as now written,
right.
You cannot deduct your state income tax from your federal tax.
Nothing. Back when our state income tax was much higher, in the Rockefeller era when it was 15.25% on state and almost 20 for residents of New York City, believe it or not, 40 years ago, the net cost of that tax was much less because the federal tax rate then was 70%. The higher the federal marginal rate, the lower the net cost mm-hmm. of the state rate.
Sure.
When the federal rate has gone down, our own rate has gone down almost as if deliberately, although it wasn't thought of that way, and has kept our effective state tax rate within a fairly narrow band. With this, with the end of deductibility completely, for the highest income people especially, it's going to shoot up to its highest level ever. I think that that's going to put a lot of downward pressure on revenues here. I think it's going to affect our revenue base, and the state has made itself more dependent than ever on high-income people, especially in recent years. I don't think that's been a good policy. Whether or not you think it's a good policy, it's gonna come back to bite us.
Why not? Because it'll force people out of the state.
We've already have a steady trend of movement out of the state by our wealthiest taxpayers, and that's shown in the state's numbers. Half of the million-dollar earners in our tax base actually live in other states and pay taxes here only on smaller amounts of their income that they earn at a minimum level here. And that number, that share, has been rising for 15 years. And I think it's going to rise faster if this bill is passed. And that's going to put pressure on state finances, and that's going to roll downhill to school districts and the local programs.
So what does Andrew Cuomo do if, in fact, this tax bill becomes law? He has some choices, right?
He already has some budget problems, actually, even if this tax bill doesn't become law, based on the way the numbers are shaping up for next year. They're not good. Even if the federal government doesn't touch the health care policies and Medicaid reform that was on the table that would cost the state billions down the road, even if it doesn't change tax policy, the governor is looking at bigger budget shortfalls than he's had since his first year in office. This will create a longer-term problem, not just the tax piece alone won't create a short-term problem. So it depends on how long he thinks he'll be around to have to deal with it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Michael. Okay. And now we're going to go to Tom in Albany. Tom in Albany, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm looking for a comment on taking away the deduction for student loan interest. Seems to me that that's attacking a vulnerable population. Gratuitously cruel that if you have $1.3 trillion in student debt out there, so heavy that it's actually affecting the home sales market and everything else, and to raise their taxes under a plan that's called a lower tax plan, it seems a little bizarre.
Okay, go
well,
ahead.
Well, I'm not. Without going one side or the other on whether it should even be deductible, I'd make the point that the deduction for interest on your student loans means something only to people who have enough income to benefit from the deduction. If you're just starting out from college and paying off your student loan, it probably doesn't make much difference to you because you're probably not in a position to claim it. Once your income gets high enough, it'll mean more to you. Those types of things in the long run cut two ways, whether it's businesses able to claim deduct interest as opposed to savings, or whether it's individuals. When you make interest deductible, and this goes for mortgage interest too, you're actually creating an incentive to borrow more and actually creating more business for lenders.
Which is why they want to put a max on how much you can.
Right. And what they should do, for instance, to shift gears for a minute to the mortgage deduction, I can make a strong case, and I would argue for this, eliminating the mortgage deduction, because it doesn't benefit homeowners, and it benefits builders and real estate agents in the long run. And most actual developed societies don't have a deduction for mortgage interest. But in terms of student loan interest, there's an argument that everything we have done to incentivize larger student loans and to even create deductions for interest in isolation actually has encouraged colleges to boost their prices even higher with the attitude that you can go out and get a cheap loan for it. So it cuts both ways. It's one of many tax breaks that will be curtailed or eliminated under this bill, and they have counterproductive impacts. And in isolation, you can argue for some of them more strongly than others.
Thank you, Tom. Let's go to Ben in Williamsburg. Okay, Ben in Williamsburg, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes. I paid pretty close attention.
Ben, you're busting up. I don't know why, but we can't hear you. It's like watching a bad television thing.
Can you hear me a little better?
Yes,
now,
much better.
Okay, great. So I had been paying kind of what perked my ears up was somebody called in and asked about the basically the mileage. I guess it's a credit. Not real familiar with.
We don't know either. That's all three of us don't know.
Yeah. So.
Good question.
You know, and just to clarify, it's 55 cents a mile, I believe, currently that the government in. Last year, my tax accountant forgot to file my mileage, and I was going to actually owe the government a few hundred dollars. And so, because I put 25,000 miles a year of business mileage on my vehicle, when he did go ahead and apply that, he said, okay, yeah, you're getting $1,100 back.
Terrific.
Makes a big difference.
The idea of doing away with that 55 cents, and that's currently something that's being floated, and you guys aren't clear on that.
No, we don't know.
I think it's probably affected, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ben. I have to say, I remember when it was a dime, not 55 cents.
Unfortunately, so do I, but anyway.
Okay, over to Steve in Glenville. Okay, Steve, you're on.
Yeah, I understood you to say that the exemptions are being eliminated in this bill.
Yes.
Because currently, if you get a personal exemption, and right. if you're legally blind, you get a second exemption. So they're giving me $6,000 more standard deduction, but they're taking away $8,000 of exemption.
Is your exemption total eight, or is it eight extra?
It's an extra one. So
I don't know if they're taking away the added exemptions for the elderly and the blind. I'm not sure. I just can't say. I didn't look at that, but
that seems to be a possibility.
I think it probably is a possibility, but I don't have the bill in front of me. I'm sorry.
They're exposing more of your income to taxes and higher taxing.
But they're giving you,
a break
on the theory that they're giving you a bigger. I mean, on the theory being, well, we're giving you a larger standard deduction.
Except it doesn't make up for what they're taking away.
That's another good question. I don't know.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, and now to Diana in Albany. I'm trying to get everybody in here, folks. Diana in Albany, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment on something an earlier caller said, that even the poorest of the poor should be required to pay some kind of a tax. In addition to Social Security and Medicare taxes, they also pay a regressive tax in the form of sales tax. So a much larger portion of their income is spent on taxes every time they have to make a purchase. And in addition to that, they're already subsidizing the lifestyle of those of us who make much more by virtue of their lower wages. Everything is less expensive when we're making our own purchases. So they're already making their contributions to society in multiple forms of taxes, as well as in receiving lower income for their labor.
EJ?
Well, I wouldn't agree entirely that if you work in a lower wage job than some other job, you're subsidizing everybody else. I do think, and I'm glad to see that the plan preserves, for instance, the earned income tax credit, which is a negative income tax, a payment to people who are low wage workers. I think I would have preferred to actually have seen it reformed and actually increased under any such plan. But I agree with you, I did make the point that, in fact, because you don't pay income tax doesn't mean you're not taxed. You pay over 7% of your income in payroll taxes alone. And yes, you pay state and local taxes as well.
Okay. Right.
Thank you, Deanna.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. And we'll go to, let's see here. Oh, I'm going to ask you a question that has come in over the internet from Deanne. Thank you for your discussion today. What about for seniors who are on limited income, say an income of $28,000? How will they fare under the new bill?
I think that they'll fare okay. Unless they've got a really sort of unusual, exotic array of different tax breaks, I think that the net is going to be you're going to get a tax cut if you're at that level and you're a senior citizen. I feel pretty safe in saying that.
Okay. And now to Teresa in Albany. Teresa, you're the last call, I believe, and it's got to be quick, real quick.
Hi. How do we make an impact? I live in Albany. All of my representatives will be against this bill. How can we make a difference?
So that's a political question, EJ. And the question is, if you live in a blue state and everybody's against the whole thing, or most people are against the whole thing, that there are some congressmen, for example, Congressman Faso and others who are Republicans who may be voting for this bill, although they have spoken out in some cases against it, against provisions in it, you have to get to them.
Well, I think that the main thing is I'm not sure whether they should be against the bill or not, frankly.
You're a conservative. I
think that there are problematic aspects of the bill, and it depends on who you are, what your tax mix is, whether you're against it or not.
Okay. We have to get off, unfortunately. Thank you very much for the call. Okay. So now we're out of time. I want to thank everybody who called in today. I want to find the exact right thing. So EJ, thanks for being here. You're support welcome. For the Vox 5 comes from Coleman and Hartman Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years. CNHArchitects.com. The Egremont Barn, presenting singer actress Pamela Knowles, a jazz pop vocalist, Friday, November 10th at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, November 11th, featuring Will Senegrad Trio. Tickets available at the EgremontBarn.com and studio KTM Red Hook, a hair salon specializing in both adults and children, and introducing the Naturalik, a line of organic ammonia-free hair coloring products from Denmark. Studio KTM.com and Karen Lindstrom, resiliency life coaching via phone or Skype, helping people recognize negative thinking and behaviors that interfere with personal fulfillment, providing tools to build resilience for life development, ROMMP.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who is at the board, Susie Chekai, who took the calls, Jim Lavoulis, who's the producer of this program. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.